Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. This week, we begin an exploration of solitude.
Our guest today is Sophia Dembling, who is on the phone with us from Texas. Among her publications are Introverts in Love and The Introvert's Way. She hosts a blog called The Introvert's Corner for Psychology Today. Welcome to the program, Sophia.
I'm happy to be here.
You've thought a lot about retreat, introversion, and solitude. How did these become such a meaningful part of your professional and personal life?
Well, it's interesting. I started writing about introversion, and, you know, at the beginning, when you first start discovering and acknowledging and loving your introversion, you fight for your solitude because you begin realizing how important solitude is for an introvert, for our well-being, for our peace of mind. And so the initial thing is to sort of fight for solitude. And then I began to realize as I was sort of going along, and it was sort of a journey of learning about introversion as I was writing about it, how easily solitude could kind of slip into isolation, could slip into kind of being a little bit too alone. And you don't always notice it when you're happening. It's a special risk for introverts because basically we enjoy it so much, being alone. But there's sort of a fine line, and the more aware I became of it, the more I began to understand that I needed to monitor my own solitude and make sure it was always healthy solitude and I wasn't letting it become isolation.
You mentioned healthy solitude, and I wondered if you would define that and then talk a little about what it is about solitude that's healthy for us as we age.
I can't say that high levels of solitude are healthy for everyone. I think it's healthy to be capable of having solitude, to be capable of being alone with yourself and comfortable with your own thoughts. I think that's important for everyone. And I think for introverts, solitude is important, and respecting our need for solitude is important because that's how we recharge and that's how we put out a lot of energy when we're out in the world and interacting. We recharge in our solitude. As we age, it's more important that we accomplish the dreams and the things we want to do. And I use solitude to pursue. I like to write fiction, and I need that time to write fiction. That's often when I'll take a retreat, and I'll go off by myself for a few days to just write. And so I've learned to carve out and defend time for myself in order to pursue the things that I know I'll regret not pursuing if I don't get them done. And so that solitude also feels very healthy to me. It's protecting who I am for myself.
There's a pretty big push for older adults to remain active, to be social. How do we balance this with our need for solitude?
Well, I think that pressure to be social starts from the time you're a kid. And people are telling you, don't lie around and read a book. Go out and play with your friends. But I think you're right. I mean, solitude and isolation and loneliness can be big problems for older people, and especially if they're no longer in a partnership, in a relationship of any kind. But I really think it's very individual. I think that we have to pay attention to what it feels like when we've had too much interaction. So I think for each of us, we have to recognize our own symptoms. Sometimes my brain feels tired, like a muscle feels tired, and that's when I know I've overdone it. I get irritable. I tell people, tell your family that if you need time alone, they'll appreciate it, because when we get overstimulated and we've done too much, that's when bitchy happens. That's when we start getting hard to be around. So you have to sort of start paying attention to your clues, and then you have to start respecting those clues, because everybody's always going to say, no, you shouldn't go home now. No, you shouldn't be alone. No, you need to come and socialize. And you have to find that place where you're okay saying, right now I need to get off by myself for a while. I need some quiet time. And even if that's just, a walk in the middle of the day during the middle of family holidays when you've just surrounded by people, maybe you just need to get off for an hour or two to sort of let those words fall out of your brain for a while. That's okay. When you know that's okay, then you can feel confident just saying, no, I'll be back and I'll be better than ever, and now I'm going to go off on my own. Now, on the other side of too much isolation, again, very personal, but I have found, for example, when I start getting angry with people on Facebook, it means I need to get out and be around real people. You know, when I start over-engaging in what I have a fairly active virtual social life. But when I start sort of letting it sour me, I know it's time to get face-to-face with people. I find that there are times when going to the supermarket feels like a giant social interaction, and that tells me I've been isolated too much. You know, sometimes I have to force myself to socialize and to see friends and to reach out because it's insurance for what, even if I don't necessarily feel it, but it's insurance for when I do need somebody. And so I try to think ahead in that because I can do a lot of solitude and it's easy to let relationships slip away. And so I try very hard to make sure I'm maintaining those relationships so that I don't fall into solitude and isolation and loneliness out of default because I have nobody to call.
Sophia, it seems to me that introversion is erroneously equated with being shy and is seen as being negative, and extroversion is seen as being very positive. Why is that?
It's absolutely that way. I think it's turning around. Introversion can be frightening to people on the outside looking in. You know, they look at us, we're sitting quietly, we're in a corner, we're not dancing or whatever it is we're not doing, and people think maybe we're being judgmental. People think we're holding ourselves above others. People think we're unfriendly or antisocial. So they sort of fill our quiet with their assumptions, and it's sort of taken on this negative. Whereas extroverts, they're right out there. They're thinking it, they're saying it. You know where you stand. And I think people are a little bit intimidated by introversion. I also think that's changing. I think that what some people call the introvert positive movement, where people are starting to say, no, we're just different, is really changing that a lot. And it's kind of nice to see. I mean, these days, there's so much discussion around introversion that you can say to somebody, it's an introvert thing, and chances are they're going to know what you're talking about. But I think it's turning around.
That's an excellent distinction between the two, and I think is a great place to end our interview today, along with one quote that I will walk away with from you, which was about others filling our quiet with their assumptions. That's just so beautifully said. So, Faya, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
You bet. I appreciate the request.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Annie is our editor and engineer.
Tune in next Thursday to Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.